Welcome to The Last Trump, a radio show on end times prophecy. We encourage you to get your Bibles out and go to the scriptures with us as we look at the biblical truths found within the Bible that are pointing us to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And now, live from the Revolution Studios on Grand Island, New York, here's your host, Mike Chory.
Well, welcome tonight to The Last Trump. This is your host, Mike Chory, and we are welcoming everybody in the greater Buffalo area, southern Ontario, or wherever you are picking up The Last Trump. This is a study on Bible prophecy, and we want you to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And tonight, here to help me break it on down, Kurt Space from Central Pennsylvania, my co-host. Welcome, Kirk.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. Good to be here on Feast of Trumpets weekend. We made it. Another one in the books here. It's coming up, so I'm getting excited.
Yeah, and for all our listeners that maybe are new to the broadcast, we teach here on The Last Trump the prophetic meanings of the seven and really the eight prophetic feasts that God gave Moses. He gave him seven, the eighth one, of course, being Hanukkah, or what's called in Scripture Feast of Dedication. You can find that in John chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Jesus actually kept that feast and went into the temple when he was in his earthly ministry. But the first seven, Kirk, we follow them in terms of prophetic dating. And we saw in history that the first four has been fulfilled by the first coming. And many, many theologians, well-respected theologians and eschatologists, I should say, believe that the last three, which are all in the fall, which are three in a row on the Hebrew calendar, are going to be fulfilled by the Lord's second coming. And what we should give you on that is the three fall feasts, they go in this succession: the rapture of the church, the second coming, and the beginning of the millennial reign when Christ tabernacles in Jerusalem and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. Now, we believe, and the Bible bears this out, that there is approximately 7 years between the rapture of the church and the second coming. And then 5 days, get this, 5 days after the Lord, his white horse, lands on the Mount of Olives, there's going to be a huge earthquake. The topography is going to be changed in Jerusalem by the coming of the Lord. It's called the dreadful day of the Lord, the terrible day of the Lord, when he will judge the Antichrist and the nations that have really aligned themselves with him to try to destroy the Jewish people. You have to understand tonight, that is Satan's number one goal, to attack Israel and to annihilate every Jew off the face of the earth. Now, his second goal is to destroy every Christian on the face of the earth. And you say, well, why is that? Well, you know why that is, because number one, salvation is of the Jews. Jesus was a Jew in his earthly ministry, and it was through Abraham, the lineage of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, came the Messiah, Yeshua, HaMashiach, and he came to save the Jews and the Gentiles. He died for the whole world, and Satan hates that. He hates Jerusalem. He hates all of the promised land that God, he promised to Abraham, and he's going to fulfill that at the second coming. And Kirk, so we know that those first four feasts, which was Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost, were fulfilled by his first coming. But now these fall feasts, which we're getting ready to come into in just a few days, they have great prophetic insight to what God is getting ready to do.
Well, it only makes sense, really, in theory, when you're thinking about it. You know, if the first coming fulfilled the spring feasts, it would make sense that the second coming would fulfill all the fall feasts. And really, the only thing we're waiting for, the only thing left yet that has to happen, is the rapture of the church. And that is what's going to launch us then into this series of end times events folding into the tribulation, the second coming, the millennial reign. And even, you know, that last eighth feast, Hanukkah, I mean, you could even tie that in to end times time or end times the timeline.
Yep.
Yeah. And with the Christ coming into the millennial, setting up the millennial temple there, you know, so there's symbolism through the whole four last feasts, and we're waiting for that day, and we hope it's soon. You know, things are just getting bonkers in the world today. And, you know, it's kind of overwhelming, because I remember last year at this time, Feast of Trumpets, we were saying, and we spent the whole year pretty much diving into the minor prophets and showing, you know, all the symbolism about what's happening in the world today and showing Israel of old compared to America. And we said, you know, it's so bad right now. We thought the eclipse was a sign of coming judgment, and we were watching it unfold. And we said, I don't know how it could be any worse. But boy, did we get that wrong, because this year has been much worse than what it was last year. And I think it's going to be like that leading up to the rapture. If we, you know, if the Lord spares us and lets us go another year, another two, another five, I think every year, the closer we get to the rapture, things are just going to be crazier and crazier, because I never imagined any of this that we've been experiencing. You know, we just saw another political assassination. It's the first one since MLK and JFK. You know, that these things are crazy, you know, so it's just a sign of the times of how close we are. And, you know, it's what, yeah, you'll know, I'm having a brain lapse on one of the older prophets where he says the vision is for the appointed, yet for the appointed time.
Habakkuk,
right. Yeah. So in that Greek word there is speaking of a festival for the appointed time. So it makes sense. We're watching we always watch the fall feast, but we're coming up on the first one here.
Yeah. And for those of you that are home and you have your Bible out, it's Habakkuk 2:3, and it says the vision is yet for the appointed time. So that appointed time, the word appointed in the Hebrew is moed, which means festival. I mean, that should tell you right there. And that Habakkuk 2:3 vision that is being laid out there is speaking of the second coming.
Right.
So we have Bible to say the second coming is going to be on a feast day. It's going to be on a festival. And I can't see anyone that fits it more appropriately than the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which happens 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets. Now, we believe at least there is 7 years, at least we know that, between the rapture and the second coming. The Lord comes for his church at the rapture. He never lands on the earth. We can find this 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. He descends from heaven with a shout. He comes into our atmosphere. And I remember in the Hebrew, there was a preacher, there a scholar that actually measured how close he will be to the earth. And I can't remember if it was 6,000 or 600 feet. I think it was 6,000 up in the air. I don't even know how he measured it. But the point is, the Lord will not come back to the earth at the rapture, but he will descend from heaven, and he will appear in our atmosphere in the sky, so that those that he is rapturing, that are going to be caught up, we will see him in the sky. And I'm sure many of you in pictures have seen this image through drawings, paintings, whatever. And we really don't know how it's going to look. Are we going to see the full image of Jesus standing there, the face of Jesus? I believe it'll be complete visual for the Lord there, but we're going to find out at the rapture of the church. But don't forget, all the saints of all the ages that have died and gone before us will be standing with him. That is what it means, a cloud of witnesses. And Kirk, what the sky is going to be filled with the saints, but there in the middle will be the biggest image and the greatest, grandiose image of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will appear. And we that know him and are born again, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are going to be transformed. Our bodies will be from corruption to incorruption, and we will be caught up, harpazoed, the Greek word is. We will be snatched, plucked right off this earth to protect us from the coming judgment of God called the tribulation, with the last 3.5 years being called the great tribulation.
And that's what we're waiting for. You know, it's that's what, you know, the saints of the ages, even all the way back to the book of Thessalonians, they thought they missed it, you know. So, and that, you know, that's just another sign of, you know, especially what you're seeing in the church today. You know, scripture warns us that there's going to be scoffers in the last day. And people always be saying, where's the promise of his coming? And we see that so much today, you know, on the internet and social media. It's so polluted with anti-rapture talk. You know, they say it's started in the 1800s with John Darby, you know, and it's then, you know, you get mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib, you know, the whole nine yards, you know. But this is our blessed hope that yes. Paul wrote about in Titus. You know, this is the day we're waiting. And I know there's a lot of confusion around the rapture, and people say, well, I didn't know Jesus comes back twice. Well, technically he isn't. He only comes to the clouds, as you said, for the rapture. It's not until the second coming where he actually steps foot on earth again from where he rose.
Right.
And that's going to be, you know, that's where he comes back to as the lion of the tribe of Judah, as it says, and he's going to judge the nations, and it's going to be swift and just. And you can avoid that judgment at the end, folks, and you have to survive the tribulation, obviously, first to even see that point, you know. But what a day that's going to be when Christ comes back, steps foot on earth again, and sets everything right, and everything goes to the way it intended to be with Adam and Eve, and we'll go live through the millennial reign. And I can't wait to see what it's going to be like. You know, it's an incredible thought. You could speculate for days on what you think it's going to be like, what you think we're going to be doing, how, you know, some people say we could travel at the speed of thought. You know we're going to be like Christ, right? We're going to have our glorified bodies, and all pain and suffering is going to go away. No more aches and pains, and life's going to be incredible. So that's what we're waiting for, and that's what we're preparing everybody for as well, you know, because there are people who will survive the great tribulation, you know, but those people, they won't have their glorified bodies. You know, it's the saints who go before the rapture, and the ones before us, we all receive our glorified bodies. So it's an incredible thought. It's incredible. It's crazy how close we are.
The next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. He comes for his church at the rapture. 7 years approximately later, he will come with his church. He'll come back with his church and the saints of all the ages. It's a great army, the scripture says, that comes back at the second coming. We know the second coming is on a festival. It says that in Habakkuk 2:3, and we believe it's Yom Kippur. Now, what we want to give you tonight is the dates for this year of the fall feast. Now, obviously, the second coming can't be in this particular year. It would have to be at least 7 years away from where we are right now. Because why? The church is still on the earth. The rapture has not happened. But if the rapture was to happen this year, then we believe approximately 7 years later will be the second coming. And then 5 days after he returns, he's going to set up his millennial reign. It's going to begin on the Feast of Tabernacles, we believe. The millennial temple will be built, and the Lord will begin to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, this year, just looking at the Hebrew calendar, because that's the calendar God's really using for end time events, this year, the Feast of Trumpets, which if you go in your Bible, and we can go there and see it in Numbers 29, verses 1 and 2, we see that in the seventh month, on the first day, is to be the blowing of the trumpets. The seventh month on the Hebrew calendar is a month called Tishri, and it is on the Gregorian calendar, falls on September or October, however that falls each calendar year. This year, the Feast of Trumpets, or what's called also Rosh Hashanah, it is the new year. The Jews will turn their yearly clock. It'll click 1 year forward. It's like our New Year's on January 1st on the Gregorian calendar, but on their calendar, it's Tishri 1. Where does that fall this year? It falls September 23rd and 24th. So on Tuesday and Wednesday, or is it Wednesday and Thursday? I'm not looking at my calendar. it'll be Rosh Hashanah. I believe it's, is it Tuesday and Wednesday? Is the 23rd on a Tuesday this?
Yeah, the 23rd is Tuesday and then Wednesday.
So when the sun goes down on Monday night on a Hebrew calendar, it becomes the seventh month, the first day, which will be September 22nd. But again, they start their day or a new day at sunset. We started at midnight. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we are on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, you should be ready all the time. You should be ready right now for the coming of the Lord or to meet the Lord. You and I are only one heartbeat away from meeting our Maker. So you don't wait. It would be ridiculous to say, well, you know, if you guys are saying it's going to be on the Feast of Trumpets, I'll tell you what, I'll get right with God, you know, a couple days before that. And then if he doesn't come back, I'll live the way I want to live. And next year, a couple days before that, I'll get, if you're living like that, you're going to miss the rapture. You're not really truly wanting to serve God. You can't play games with God. He knows your heart. And so regardless if he was to come this year or next year or 10 years from now, you need to be ready right now because your life can be taken in an instant. And the Bible says we die once and then comes the judgment. And so do not put this off. But as we are approaching the Feast of Trumpets and we're looking at the signs of the times, we must be at high alert. And if we go past the feast, and you might be listening tonight and go, I don't believe he's coming back or raptures on a feast. Well, then you come up with something, but we know he's coming soon. That's the point. And in looking at Bible prophecy, like Kirk said earlier, it only makes sense that if his death was on the Feast of Passover, his burial was on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he rose from the dead exactly on the Feast of First Fruits, and he sent the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost, it would make sense that these fall feasts are also prophetic in nature. So be ready. Tell your families to be ready. Be on high alert. And Kirk, based on what we're seeing, we should be ready any day because the signs are pointing to the soon imminent return of Jesus Christ. And I will just say, I'll go on record, I'll let you, Kirk, give your opinion. I personally believe we have a little more time. Maybe a year, maybe a few years. But I don't live by what I feel. I don't go by, you know, well, maybe he's going to give us. I want to be ready right now tonight. That if that trumpet sounded, that me and my family are going to be absent from this earth and we're going to be in glory. So that is how I think every person should be. Kirk, your feelings on where we are right now.
Well, you can't rule out that it's this year. You know, we just don't know. There's two things that we don't know, right? We don't know when the rapture takes place, and we don't know the time frame between the rapture and the start of the Great Tribulation, right? Which is the signing of the 7-year peace agreement that the Antichrist will sign with Israel. So we don't know. It could be the same day. Some believe it's the same day. It could be a week, 6 months, a year. We don't know. But to prove that we know how that it is very soon. It's, you know, it's our go-to verse. It was the theme of the conference on the third day. It's Hosea 6:2. It says, after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. And that's speaking of Israel. And when you go to the book of Peter, it explains a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day, right? So after 2 days, that's 2,000 years. Right, so if we take 2,000 years from the cross, because the clock stopped when Messiah was cut off, okay? So just do the math, folks. 2,000 years from what we believe is 33 AD when the cross happened, that takes you to 2033. Now take 7 years off of that for the tribulation period, and it puts you at 2026, okay? So there's some wiggle room in there for, you know, cross date if you believe the tribulation is included in the 2,000-year church age or not. You know, there is some play, but it isn't much. It's not much time, right? So we have to be ready yesterday, today, tomorrow. It doesn't matter when we believe, or it shouldn't be based on guessing when the rapture is. That's, as Pastor Mike said, that's you're not going to make it if you're living your life that way, saying, well, I'll just try and get a couple more sins in under the rug before Feast of Trumpets. It's just, it's not a good way to live, because, you know, you could get in a car and get in an accident and meet the Lord, you know, at any time. But it's interesting this year. You know, we do this every year around Feast of Trumpets, because that's what we believe. But this year, it's getting a lot of attention on social media.
It is, yeah.
And I'm not going to subscribe to any of the things these people are saying, but it's worth mentioning, because I've never seen anything like this. And it all started with a brother from Africa. I think it was, I don't remember which country, but he claims... He had an interview with somebody on a podcast, and he said that he had a dream, and the Lord appeared to him and told him that there wasn't going to be a World Cup this year in 2025, that no World Cup. And he attributed that to being the rapture, right? So everybody starts getting all excited, and they think, oh, Feast of Trumpets this year, because the guy gave a time. He said Feast of Trumpets, he believed, is what the Lord told him was going to be the rapture. And then everybody starts diving into, well, no man knows the day or hour, no man knows the day or hour. But people are starting to realize and catch on that now that phrase is also a Jewish idiom for the Feast of Trumpets. So they're starting to think, well, maybe the Lord actually did tell us that it is the Feast of Trumpets by just saying that. So everybody on the internet starts praying and asking the Lord for dreams to confirm when just they want a rapture dream, right? And they're incredible to watch, because there's hundreds of these people explaining the dreams that they had when they prayed for the Lord to give them a rapture dream. Not on the timing, not on any of that, but they just wanted a dream about the rapture to confirm this idea that it's close. And there's hundreds of them. And then people start getting the number 923, right? September 23rd, right? They get the numbers 923 popping up all over on random signs and on license plates and on stickers. And people are like, look, the Lord's confirming it. You know, it's cool to watch, but you got to hold it with an open hand. You can't, you know, take it for gospel. But it was interesting. I'm seeing all this stuff flooded online. And today on my job, I was going into one of my customers. And as soon as I walk in the door, there was a sign that was never there before. And it says, mandatory meeting, September 23rd. There will be no excuses for everyone not to be here. And I thought, man, isn't that true to everybody who's heard the gospel if the rapture takes place on 9/23? You know, it's interesting. You know, it's fun to talk about and speculate, but it's getting a lot of attention this year. I've never seen anything like it. And there, you know, another guy, he showed all the symbolism that Hollywood has given over the years on the number 9/23 and September 23rd. There was never a year given, but there's been a lot of predictive programming put into movies and TV and music over the years about 9/23. Nobody has a definitive answer of what it's about. But it's just interesting that this year, you know, Feast of Trumpets falls on 9/23. So, you know, you take it with a grain of salt, you know, you laugh it off, you chuckle, and it's something, you know, it's for everybody to believe on their own. But the point is, we're very close. As I said, there's only a couple years wiggle room here or there. But the point is, you got to be ready today.
And we should all want the Lord to come tonight. I mean, why would you not want to go to be with the Lord, to be in mansions of glory, and to see this world finally be taken where the Lord's going to take his bride, and then he's going to come back to save Israel? There's so much pain. There's so much suffering. It's called the blessed hope, folks, for a reason. It is the hope of all hope that King Jesus will come back and he will rule and reign forever and ever. This is our desire. Should be the desire. What bride doesn't want her bridegroom to come and sweep her off her feet? He wants a bride that is expecting, a bride that is excited for the bridegroom to come forth. And we are in full alert, as I said. I don't know the year, I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, but I know it's close. And if the Lord gives us a few more years, I believe we could see one of the greatest revivals and moves of God that we have ever seen in our lifetime. The atmosphere is ripe. what we have seen in recent days, the violence, the death. I mean, a man that would kill a woman, another person on a bus just to take a knife out and take her life, or to see on a university campus somebody gunned down. I mean, the Bible says one of the signs of the coming of the Lord is that lawlessness will increase and the love of many will grow cold. I mean, people celebrating death, celebrating a man being shot and killed right in front of their eyes, and people are celebrating that. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? He told Israel, he will give you a new heart and a new spirit. That's what man needs. That's what you need. That's what I need. I needed a new heart. I needed a new spirit. And my heart is longing for Jesus to come. And we are to be ready, as I said. And, you know, we talk about dreams, Kirk. I've had one dream in my lifetime about the rapture of the church, and it had to do with my dad. My dad is now 93 years young. He's going to be 94 soon. And in this dream, we were in the house that I grew up in, and it was a very stormy day. I mean, the wind started picking up and almost hurricane wind types, and we ran to get into our house, and I looked out the front window, and there was a man hanging or grabbing onto a telephone pole as the wind was just sweeping things down the street. And all of a sudden, the man, with one hand, he held onto the pole. The other hand, he pointed up in the sky, and he said, "Look, it's the Lord."
Wow.
And in my dream, I peeled up my eyes into this dark, dark sky, and there the Lord was standing. And in the dream, my first reaction was, oh no, I'm not ready. I wanted to do more for Jesus. I didn't do all that I knew God wanted me to do. And I was almost in this fear mode that I'm out of time. And I literally said that in the dream. It's the rapture. I'm out of time. And then I said in the dream, it came sooner than I thought. And in this moment of feeling regret for not doing all that I felt I could have done, all of a sudden in the dream, I shook it off and I said, "Forget that. I'm going to see Jesus." And amen. I took off running into the other room where my dad was. And in the dream, of course, this is going back 20, 30 years ago. I reached over to his shoulders and I wasn't sure if my dad was ready for the rapture. And I grabbed his shirt sleeves as though I said, "Dad, it's the rapture." And I grabbed him as to, "I'm not leaving without you. I'm going to take you with me." And we started to levitate right off the ground in our living room. And when we started levitating, he was as light as a feather. And I knew he was ready. The Lord was taking him too. And I let go of his shirt sleeves. And both of us levitated right through the roof as though it wasn't even there. And then I woke up from the dream. There was one thing in the dream missing that really haunted me for some years. My mother wasn't in the dream. And I felt as though back 20, 30 years ago that when the Lord came, my mother would not be on the earth. Now, again, this is a dream. So we cannot make it gospel. We're going to find out. I'm going to find out. If my dad is alive when Jesus comes, that dream was from the Lord. If the Lord takes him early, before the rapture, I'll know it was just out of my own spirit. So like Kirk said, we hold these things with an open hand. But that dream, I never forgot it. One of these days, friend, he's going to appear and we're going to be out of here. Kirk, we're excited by the Lord's coming, and tonight, I pray that everyone that's listening to our broadcast heeds this warning, because when the Lord blows that trumpet, folks, there's not going to be any time to get ready, and this broadcast will no longer be aired. We'll be gone, and we don't want anybody left behind, so be ready. Kirk, I want to go over tonight to Revelation, where we left off last week in Revelation 14:13. And we've been studying the two beasts, the false prophet, the Antichrist. And I want to pick it up where we left off last night. If you could read, starting in verse 13, we'll read one verse and break it down.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
Now, this verse is extra special to me because a dear friend of mine by the name of Dan Burritt, 5 years ago, went home to be with the Lord. He was one of the greatest evangelists I've ever been around. Went on the mission field several times with him, and his wife Doreen now travels with us. She's from It Is Finished Ministry, a ministry that Brother Dan began, and he wrote a book called How to Live for God in Plain Language. And the Lord, unexpectedly, really, to a lot of people, he took Brother Dan home. But that book continues on. So tonight, as you think of people that have gone before you and are with the Lord now, they are resting from their labors. Kirk, that's what it says here, that those that die in the Lord, they rest from their labors, but their works follow them. And in the case of Dan Burritt, his book now is going around the world. They are putting it in Spanish. I just heard the other day, Jimmy Swaggart Ministry, they ran out of the books. They offered it on their share-a-thon, and they're waiting for books to be reprinted. This book in Canada, many have ordered up in Canada this book by Brother Burritt, and they've run out. So they're republishing, printing more, and his works are following him. When we think of Brother Swaggart, who went home on July the 1st, but yet the broadcast goes on, and all of his classics, all of his teaching, both on television continues, but also the Expositor Study Bible going all around the world. Kirk, this is a verse that means a lot to me, that the works of these great men of God continue even as they are resting in heaven from their labors.
You know, and you took the words out of my mouth, because the first person I was thinking of was Dan Burritt. Because when Doreen and I became friends, and we were talking about Dan, because I never got to meet Dan, he died. I think it was the same year I got saved, so I didn't really know anybody. It was only a couple months after I got saved. But that being said, Doreen and I are now friends, and she told me this story about the Lord giving her this verse when Dan died. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And it's incredible to see how, you know, people say, well, you know, somebody's dead, that's it, you know, they're, you know, no more. But no, that's not true with the Lord. You know, all these old greats, I mean, look at the work of the apostles and the Bible. You know, the Lord is still using their works, their written works today. You know, their works are going to follow them until we're all in glory and we're in the millennial reign. But, you know, even like you said with Brother Swaggart, but the thing here to take notice, Brother Swaggart writes it in his notes. He says, it's the exact opposite of the beast worshipers who have no rest. So think about that, folks. You know, these people who are saved, born again, and die and go be with the Lord, they rest from their work, but their works follow. But the people who are going to worship the beast, they are going to be faced with endless torment. And especially those who take the mark of the beast, there is no redemption. So there isn't even a glimmer of hope for them to rest from their labor. And it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. And, you know, we were talking about dreams. It reminds me, you know, your rapture dream was way better than mine, because mine was the night before I got saved, right? And I had decided in my mind that I believed it, but I was just not ready to give up some things in the world. But I went to bed one night and I had a dream that I missed the rapture, and I was in the tribulation and I knew it. And I saw all the things that we've been talking about here for the past couple months. I saw the ground split open and fire and smoke come out, and these demonic beasts running around. People were being killed brutally, and it scared me to death. And the next day is when I gave my heart to the Lord, because I felt if I went to bed again that night, I wasn't going to wake up. That's how I felt in my spirit, because I had such bad demonic torment. But that's what's coming, folks. And this is what you can avoid by being in Christ. You know, there's no rest here and in the afterlife in hell. It's endless.
Hell is a real place, and it's no joke. And there are people tonight that are there, many, many souls that are there, and they don't rest day or night. They cry. The Bible says there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. They thirst. They're in pain. They're paining for rejecting Christ and not putting their faith in him. But for the saints in glory, they're resting from their labors. I mean, Kirk, does it appear to you this year, 2025, that there's been like this roll call of calling the great generals home? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes, it seems like it.
We've seen Brother Swaggart. We saw James Dobson went home to be with the Lord. And I have even heard of family members from a lot of people, great saints, that have suddenly been taken to glory. I was just in a funeral the other day, a 48-year-old young girl by the name of Rachel. Her parents have served the Lord all their life. Rachel grew up in the church. She was actually in a youth group that I was the youth pastor of. Just a tremendous girl, broke the hearts of her family and all that knew her. But she's going to be seen again. She's resting from her labor, but her children live on now with her legacy. But one day, we're going to be gathered together, and we're going to sit down and eat a meal with the Lord, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19 tells us about this. But there's a verse that comes to mind as I talk about these great men and women of God that have been taken, even though it's so painful for us to lose them. But the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord at the death of his saints. The Lord sees everything, friend. And when these ministers, or really any child of God, goes home to be with the Lord, he takes notice of it. And death was never his vision for his creation. Sin created death, our disobedience to God. But tonight, there is people in glory, and they are rooting, cheering us on. I believe that. The Bible says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And they're not here to do the work, but through you, through people you have lost, and by you living for the Lord, you're really carrying on their labor. Let's go on to the 14th verse, and let's read the 15th verse as well.
And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hands a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time is come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.
All right, now what we see in this verse 14, Jesus is wearing a crown because he is the victor. He has won the victory. The sickle represents the reaping that's going to take place at the Battle of Armageddon. The white denotes purity, and the cloud denotes glory. The Lord is going to get the victory in the end. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 11, all of Israel is going to be saved at the second coming. There is a lot of judgment ahead, and there's a lot of suffering ahead. But in the end, Jesus is coming back crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in that 15th verse, now the time has come for the great judgment to climax. Here we are in Revelation 14, Kirk. We are getting ready to go into the last seven bowl judgments. And it's going to be the worst time ever to be on the earth. But the Lord has a plan for his creation. And he is going to restore to this earth everything the locusts have eaten.
Amen. Amen. I can't wait for that day. And, you know, this verse here, the other angel, you know, just a recap for people, for the previous chapters that we've covered, you know, we see a multitude of these angels flying. And the notes on verse 15, Brother Swagger gives them to us. The first angel was the one who preached the everlasting gospel. And the second one predicted the fall of Babylon. And the third proclaims a warning concerning the taking of the mark of the beast. And the fourth announces the battle of Armageddon. You know, so these angels are pronouncing what's coming. And this here, this chapter, I guess you could say it's a parenthetical. Like, this is telling us that they're preparing for the Battle of Armageddon, even though it's 3.5 years away. We're seeing this set up for what's coming.
Yeah, give our listeners again, that was excellent, the four angels and what they are proclaiming.
Yeah, the first angel preached the everlasting gospel. The second predicted the fall of Babylon. The third proclaims a warning concerning the taking of the mark of the beast. And the fourth announces the Battle of Armageddon.
And what we see with this 15th verse is that the sickle is put in and the reaping, it says, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. You know, there is a harvest of souls that we're trying to bring in before the rapture of the church. And there are going to be people saved, no doubt, in the tribulation. But there is going to be a judgment harvest. And people are going to have to answer to God for the way that they have lived. It's going to be a terrible time to be on the earth. Let's go down to verse 16. I'm going to ask you to take it right down to the end of the chapter.
Okay. And he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
Now, this is speaking, of course, of the Battle of Armageddon. When Brother Kirk talked about a parenthetical, what does that mean? Here in the 14th chapter of Revelation, God pauses from the progression and the chronology of the seven-year tribulation. We're right at the midpoint, and we're getting ready to go into the worst judgments prophesied in the book of Revelation. But here is some background information how this is all going to happen. And the fifth angel of this chapter is presenting, as it says in verse 17, he's also got the sharp sickle. This is all speaking of the great judgment of God. And when is it going to occur? It's going to occur at the last battle, Armageddon. It's going to take place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Decision. And there is going to be a great harvest of souls, as we said, that will be saved during the Great Tribulation, but there will also be a great harvest of souls that will be judged at this last battle. And this judgment will experience the wrath of God. It means the wrath of God is going to be poured out. God is patient. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But at the Battle of Armageddon, his patience has wore out. And this is truly a fearful thing. Hmm. This should bring the fear of the Lord to everyone listening. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The nations are going to gather for this great battle. And they think they're fighting against Israel, but they don't realize they are literally have picked a fight with the God of Israel. And he is going to split the eastern sky, and he's going to descend on white horse with legions of armies from heaven riding on white horses. That is us. And the Bible says there will be so much so much judgment, so much death of the people that have come against Israel, but really they've come against God. And notice what it says in verse 20, Kirk. I mean, we're talking about blood that is, no doubt it's believed that it's mixed with water, but it is going to be approximately 6 feet deep. It is possible that millions will die at the Battle of Armageddon. This is what's called the terrible day of the Lord. It's a terrible thing, a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of a living God. Kirk?
Well, you know, it says it's going to be a space of 1,600 furlongs. 1,600 furlongs is the distance of 175 miles. So imagine that, a river of 175 miles long, 6 feet deep of blood. Now, obviously, there's water in that, but that's a lot of death. And what we're seeing here in these last few verses, closing out the chapter, just so people don't get confused, this is what's going on in the heavens at the time the Battle of Armageddon happens. So technically, this takes place after the seven vial judgments have already been poured out, which we didn't get to yet. They're coming up in the next couple chapters. So this is just, as we said, it's a parenthetical. It's showing us what's going to happen in the heavens with these angels having a big part in the reaping and in this judgment in the Battle of Armageddon. And this is right before Christ comes back, splits the sky, and Israel will call out for Jesus and profess him as Messiah. And that's when the second coming takes place. So this is the end. I mean, we've already saw millions and billions dead, killed throughout the tribulation. Two-thirds of the world is going to be wiped out. So this is a big one here at the end. You know, who knows how many nations and people are going to be in this battle. And it's probably going to be a kinetic warfare, like, you know, hand-to-hand, people face-to-face. There's going to be a lot of death. This is absolutely horrific.
It really is. And this is what the Bible states. We cannot change it. We cannot compromise it. It's hard to comprehend, I'll give you that. But the Lord, he's given you time. He's given you opportunity. I mean, we are in a state right now in America where I've never seen it like it is right now, the contention back and forth between political parties, the hatred, the things that are being said of people. And the Lord is, I believe, revealing. This is the preparation going into the great tribulation. I mean, Kirk, you sent me a verse earlier today, and it blessed my heart because we're going through some shaking things right now. And it says in Hebrews 12, 26 and 27, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Let me ask you tonight, are you solid in the Lord? Are you committed to him over anything else? No job, no relationship, no sport. No, anything is more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to watch and pray, that we would be counted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of God. Are you watching? Are you praying? The Bible commands us to roll up our sleeves. It says, keep your loins girded. That's what it means, to roll up your sleeves, really. And keep your lights burning. For he will come at a time that most will not be watching. He will come like a thief in the night. But for the bride that has oil in her lamp, she is not taken by surprise because she's ready. I don't know if 2025 is the year, but I do know this. We are to be ready right now. And we want to give you an opportunity for there to be oil in your lamp. 10 virgins, Five of them had oil. Five of them, the oil had run out. You can lose your way with God. It happens. You need to replenish the oil. You need to continue in the faith. The Bible says, if any man, Jesus said, if any man wants to come after me, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. I need the cross. You need the cross daily. What he did for you, thank him, and make sure your faith is in Christ. Make sure you've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray with you right now. And wherever you may be, pray this with us with all of your heart, as if the Lord is coming tonight. Because if the Lord was to come on this Feast of Trumpets, you would regret this for the rest of your life. Why did I not listen to Pastor Mike and Brother Kirk? Why did I take this for granted? I listened each week, but I never prayed to receive Christ, to make him the Lord of my life. Friend, don't be left behind. And like I said, we might have 10 years, we might have a few years, or we might have a few days. You need to be ready right now. And don't blame us if you're not, because this broadcast has warned you over and over. The book of Revelation is warning us. And if we're here next week and we open up to you the seven bold judgments, you don't want your worst enemy to go through this. God doesn't want you here. He doesn't want you to go through the great tribulation. And he promised that he would spare you from his wrath. But there's one condition. You must be a child of God. The Bible says he has not appointed his children unto wrath. Tonight, you can make sure you're a child of God by committing your heart and your soul to Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but these words are not so important. It's you confessing your sin, repenting of it, and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, putting your faith in what he did on Calvary, where he shed his blood, and believing that he rose from the dead. If you'll trust him tonight, he'll save you. He'll save you from the great tribulation. He'll save you from hell. Pray with us, won't you? Just say these words after me, and Kirk's going to help you. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sins.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sins.
For the things I've done.
For the things I've done.
And the way that I've lived my life.
In the way that I've lived my life.
And tonight I want to repent.
And tonight I want to repent.
I want to turn my life over to you, Lord.
I want to turn my life over to you, Lord.
And right now, according to your word.
And right now, according to your word.
Which cannot lie.
Which cannot lie.
Romans chapter 10, verse 9.
Romans chapter 10, verses 9.
With my mouth, I confess Jesus Christ.
With my mouth, I confess Jesus Christ.
As the Lord of my life.
As the Lord of my life.
And I believe.
And I believe.
With my heart.
With my heart.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
And he's alive.
And he is alive.
And right now I receive you, Lord.
And right now I receive you, Lord.
Into my heart.
Into my heart.
Into my life.
Into my life.
By faith.
By faith.
I receive you.
I receive you.
That your Holy Spirit would come inside of me.
That your Holy Spirit would come inside of me.
And I would be born again.
And I would be born again.
And I believe.
And I believe.
Right now.
Right now.
That your Holy Spirit is coming in.
That your Holy Spirit is coming in.
And I declare.
And I declare.
I'm washed.
I'm washed.
I'm cleansed.
I'm cleansed.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I am saved.
I am saved.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, for everybody that's prayed out there, I want you to know, if the Lord blew the trumpet this week, coming up on Feast of Trumpets, do you realize we would be brothers and sisters in heaven? Kirk, wouldn't it be amazing to get there and people come up to us and say, I prayed with you listening to The Last Trump. That is the only reason we're on this program, is to see souls saved. Hallelujah.
I can't wait, brother, especially with the podcast going out all over the world. We don't know what the Lord's done with any of these, but we're going to find out one day. And it'll be a tremendous blessing to have people come up to us in heaven and say, we got saved listening to you guys on The Last Trump. That's what we hope for.
I'll tell you, you know, for everyone that joins us each and every week, you know, we have a banquet coming up on Thursday night, October 2nd at the Classic 5. It's a banquet dinner. It's called the Harvest Fundraising Dinner of Joshua Revolution. We would love for you to come in our radio audience. We want to meet you. Kirk's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Many people are coming. You're going to hear the vision, but we would love to have you there. Give a testimony of what God's done. If he's saved you through this radio broadcast, or he's encouraged your faith, you need to be there. You can call the ministry tonight and order your tickets. It's $40 for the dinner. And for everyone that prayed with us, you need to call tonight. We're going to give you a free copy of the New Testament, the Expositor Study Bible. The number to call for your banquet tickets, or to tell the operators, I prayed with Kirk and Pastor Mike, and I would like to receive that Bible. The number to call, 716-229-8000. That's 716-229-8000. If you're outside the Buffalo area, up in Canada, 1-888-444-2920. 1-888-444-2920. Go to the phone now. Operators are waiting for your call. And we just want to say God bless you. And it's going to be Rosh Hashanah in a few days. Happy New Year to all of our Jewish friends. And may everyone be ready for the coming of the Lord. Kirk, I love you. Thank you for your commitment over and over to this broadcast. I couldn't do it without you.
To God be the glory, brother. To God be the glory.
Amen. To God be the glory. God bless every one of you. And we'll be praying for our nation and praying for everyone that's listened tonight that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life.
You have been listening to The Last Trump, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If The Last Trump has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony on how the program has helped you. If you would like to support The Last Trump financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072. Or go to our website at joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 8:30 p.m. for The Last Trump, a study on end times prophecy.